It's time for our weekly visit with our good friends up at theberkshireedge.com, David and Marcy. Once again, theberkshireedge.com. You can find them there 24 hours a day with updated stories all the time on what's going on in South County and surrounding areas. And once again, this morning, we say good morning. Morning, David. Good morning,
good
Marcy.
Morning. Wow, good morning. Good morning.
here we are again.
We're keeping our 6-foot distance from the phone.
That's right.
to protect you.
Just in case.
That's exactly right. Well, it's funny when you watch TV and you see all these fancy networks having people on cell phones and using Skype and using Zoom and people coming from their basements and stuff like that. It's a pretty interesting thing to watch.
It is pretty.
Well, you know what? I wonder if they'll ever go back.
I think they will.
this may be a whole new style now.
Right.
You know?
Well, wonder if we'll ever be able to go back.
Well, there's that too.
Oh, goodness. Well, let's start off with your wonderful governor, Charlie Baker. He has closed the schools for the rest of the year, and the extension of the essential service emergency and stay-at-home advisory, which was set to expire, I think, next week, will now...
May 4th, and then he's extended it to May 18th now.
Okay.
Which is this stay-at-home advisory is means, you know, that no schools, of course, and closure of all non-essential businesses. Because there's some consideration about what is an essential business. I know one woman that we did a story on runs a candy store. And so she's wondering whether she could have special dispensation to be an essential business. But nevertheless, there we are in Massachusetts anyways.
It's pretty much the same way in Connecticut. I think I'm not sure if Massachusetts is like Connecticut. Like if you're a package store or a liquor store, you can be open in Connecticut. Curbside service, though, they don't want too many people inside the stores. And some other stores like stores itself, like pet food, are essential. But once again, most of those are curbside pickup as well. And restaurants, of course, are all either delivery or curbside pickup. As well, essential businesses and non-essential businesses. We'll have to see what develops over the course of the next couple of weeks because, once again, there's so many different things that change or you hear on the national level, and then they're not the same on the statewide level. That's why it's great that you've got your log of events and all the particulars. If people have a question about what they need to do or what's open or what's not open, they can go right to your website and they can go right to that log.
Yeah, we have a running log of of Corona live. It's live. We update it every time there's something new, which is just about daily. And then we also have a tab up at the top of our site, which is a link to a list of restaurants and farms that are open and what kinds of service they're offering. So, people have told us it's very helpful.
Well, let's go on to a story because you've got a story here. I mean, you were just talking about the candy store, and that is your story.
Well, Marshall, I was just looking at on our story about Charlie Baker. If you click on one of the links in there, there's a whole list of what is considered essential and non-essential. For example, you should not arrange play dates for your children. Now, we could argue about whether that's essential or not. I'm sure parents would have an issue with that. But, for example, non-essential medical care, like eye exams, teeth cleaning, elective procedures, all of that stuff all of those appointments must be rescheduled.
Yeah.
So,
and that's for adults, too, I think.
Yeah. So it's quite a pretty extensive, you know.
It's a myriad of lists.
You better hope you don't get a toothache during that.
Right.
You know.
Well,
I mean, I have a dental appointment that has been posted. You know, my dentist keeps calling up and moving the appointment another month. And I keep thinking, you know, this is for a filling. And I keep thinking, oh, my God, if I get a toothache, this is going to be a disaster.
Well,
but in any case, to go back to what we were just about to do.
So Robin Heflin, who used to operate a store in Millerton, owns a candy store in Great Barrington, and your story is how she's figured out a way she'll be able to navigate through the crisis.
Well, she hopes so. she's trying to navigate this shutdown, and so she's. Her candy store has been. She's had issues. She's survived similar economic downturns before, and she's been resourceful enough to survive. So she has some rules about how she's going to operate her business now. But in any case, she had to remove some of her most popular features in her candy store, like the self-serve candy bins, that sort of thing. But she is going to she's going to try to. She's rearranged her business so that it can be open. So we'll see how she manages to survive this, but it's a very interesting story about how she's managed to do. She's switched to, you know, a kind of online model for now, so people can order
and gifts. People can order
right.
gifts.
She is very resourceful. She lives in Lakeville, I believe.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting that when you look at the different ways that businesses are trying to survive through this whole thing, and you wonder at the end of this all, when we finally start to come out of this, it's going to be going into the fall season and winter season where flu is going to come in, and once again the pandemic, and we've talked about this before. This is such a vital time for businesses to build up those reserves to make it through the winter months.
Oh, I know. This is
we're very worried. You know, we're still waiting to hear what Tanglewood will decide, and I did have some communication with them yesterday, and they say they will decide by May 15th at the latest. But, you know, they haven't canceled their season. You know, they've canceled up through the end of June, but they haven't yet canceled July and August. And I assume that they're waiting to see what Charlie Baker says, and I'm sure they're in touch with Charlie Baker's office because it is the Boston Symphony, and they're there. But, you know, if they close, there will be nothing going on, and there will be no people coming to the Berkshires, and all of the businesses that depend on summer people might as well just close their doors.
Yeah, and
so they have already, actually.
Barrington Stage.
Yeah, you know, the Berkshires really, so many businesses depend on surviving, having a healthy summer, few months of summer to survive the whole entire year, and they're just not going to have it this year.
Barrington Stage, from what I saw, is going to try to put on one thing, I think, in August.
Outside, right?
Outside.
Who is?
Yeah.
Barrington Stage?
Barrington Stage, I think.
Barrington Stage, yeah.
Yeah. They've, you know, and everything else is going to be shut. But that's on the agenda where they're going to try. So, you know, it really is really hard for any of the businesses to try to navigate through this. It really is.
Or any of these cultural venues, like Jacob's Pillow and, Williamstown Theater, any of them have to really hunker down and try to survive this.
All right, let's go to Moho Designs. I like that name, Moho.
Oh, yes, Moho.
I think that is because it's in Housatonic.
Yeah.
Mo as in Soho.
Right.
But
we have a whole number of we have some people who are resourceful and are making masks of really quite interesting masks, and so they've made a little business out of creating these masks that are designer masks, you might say, and artistic masks. And so they, they got a got a grant from the Berkshire United Way, the COVID-19 Emergency Fund, to make 600 masks for people who could would not be able to otherwise rent to purchase them. So.
And this is a company in a loft in Housatonic that
right.
had been making children's clothing before, and they had all this fabric, and so they decided that they would convert it into masks, and they did get a grant, which is going to help them survive. But we also had a story over the weekend, which was quite charming. We one of our reporters, Mary Nealon, went out and took pictures of people, we call them masked heroes, and they are people who are on the front lines, and it's not just medical people, but it's the people who are, serving coffee through the open windows of drive-through restaurants. It's grocery clerks. I mean, it's a whole array of very interesting pictures, including the police chief of West Stockbridge,
right?
All in masks, and where they got their masks. What she says is, if you see any of these people, please thank them because they're doing great work for us. So we had these two mask stories 2 days in a row. People on our lead stories of people in masks. So
they're it's interesting how in these dire times, nevertheless, people are the creative spirit pervades,
yes.
emerges, and they're making these masks. Some of them are quite colorful and interesting, and they made special designs for kids too. So it's I like to see that the people are at least thriving during this crisis.
Well, I must say, we have been really so pleasantly surprised by the general creativity of the people in this community, and I'm sure it's true all over the country. While theaters have closed and concerts have closed, we are finding very creative ways to present artistic performances. We have a story this week about new Great Barrington Public Theater, which just started last summer, is streaming new short plays online, but they are new plays with live actors, and they're all being streamed online. And our reviewer likes them very much. I know my... the organization that I chair, Close Encounters with Music, which is a chamber music group with a summer festival, has had to cancel all of it. The March, April, May, and June concerts and the live summer festival can't take place. But we just announced that in July we are having a virtual festival where we have our faculty will be teaching students online, but we will be having online concerts and online talks, and it's going to be a very interesting local presentations online. And, I mean, they won't be local, actually, but they're organized locally. So I think if you can stand to sit in front of your computer or your television for this many hours, the offerings are really impressive.
Yeah, well, just to go back to this, the Berkshire Public Theater, they're doing, they call it Bear Tales, and it's 6 feet together mm-hmm. rather than 6 feet apart. And the short plays, they're not, they're like 10 minutes and 5 minutes and 9 minutes, and you can stream them right on your computer or, you know, on your television. So these are live. These are live. Live performances that have been recorded for just this crisis that we're going through. Mm-hmm. So it's quite creative and good for them. I mean, it's interesting that this community spirit has emerged during this crisis too, you know.
Now, you also have up online a primer on Zoom, which most people should watch because they tend to forget that when they get up and walk around the house and do things, people can still see them.
Right. That's right.
Oh, you have no idea. Or maybe you do.
Well, oh, no, yes.
That's right. You forget that, you know, when you're on Zoom.
You think you're on the phone.
You think you're on your phone, but now you're not. You're on television.
The local story that I have best, and this did happen locally, where someone got up, carried their computer with them into the bathroom and went to the bathroom and then went back out to the meeting.
Yeah, moved the meeting.
I shared a personal moment,
yes.
Right?
Well,
this story that we have is by a very interesting writer who's new to The Edge. Her name is Jarris Hansen, and she is a professor of communications at UMass. And this is the second article she's written for us. But this one is about don't throw the old technology out now that we have this new technology in Zoom and it's others, because she said that there's something missing with Zoom that you can get from a telephone, that Zoom somehow doesn't give you the intimacy of the voice and the intonation that you get when you talk to people on the phone. And so,
I actually happen to agree with her.
Pardon?
I said I actually happen to agree with her, because what happens is you have to because it's visual, even if you're forgetting and you go to the loo, you know, you have to you're busy putting on a performance, so to speak.
Well, there's also
you're not yourself.
Exactly right.
But on top of that, all Skype, Zoom, and all these programs, clear record. They have to compensate for different levels from different people, so there is compression involved as well. So everybody comes out basically at the same level, and that does take away from exactly what you're talking about when somebody makes an intonation with raising their voice or not.
Or say that's just ridiculous. Yeah,
And what she's saying, actually, the bottom line is that people who communicate only by these new technologies don't develop empathy. They don't develop an ability to really be in contact with the other person and to sense the nuances of the other person.
Well, that's what you have when you're in face to face.
Yeah,
on the phone. You can sense intonations on the phone that you can't sense.
Oh, and pauses in email. But this has been a Jill theme for 6 years. So.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It started with social media, where everybody is somebody else on social media. I want to get to this last story though, because I think in Great Barrington we've seen.
You mean we have actual news?
Yes, we do.
Over the years, we've seen fights over W.E.B. Du Bois about plastic water bottles, and now parking.
Mm-hmm. You know, let me tell you. There is so much parking available right now in Grandin that this is such an ironic story.
That's right.
There's not a single car.
It's sort of out of sync with what is actually going on. Still, the parking in Great Barrington has been an issue for as long as I can remember. Because people, not now, but normally in the summer, there's lots and lots of visitors to this area, and the parking is very limited and along the streets, and so there's a constant stream of cars snaking through the town looking for that one available parking space, which is why this story, why a story about a parking lot being privatized, you might say, that people use to, say, go to, well, I know, but this particular parking lot is on Bridge Street behind, and it's down the, you know, just a block away is the Mahawi Theater, and through an alleyway you can reach the movie theater. And so, you know, it's not, it's a little bit, it's behind some buildings, but still, it's where, you know, if you're in the summer and the, everything is crowded, you can find a parking place usually on in this parking lot. And they're going to close it off. And it's, people are really annoyed.
And
the
town
is really annoyed at this. But, you know, the owners do own the lot.
I was going to say, it's their property.
But they, you know, but also they are not local, the people who bought it. You know, they bought a building on the corner of Main Street and Bridge Street, which they have been renovating for offices, and they're very nice offices inside. But they are not local, and they don't have, you know, the feeling is they don't have a sense of the dynamics of the town, and they're, you know, they're coming in not making friends, I must say.
Well,
but they probably don't care.
Well, this is a, I bet you this is a story. This is a story that'll bubble up for the next couple of months. And
yeah, I think so.
Well, it will, and I'm sure it's. I don't. You know, I'm sure that this is a story that resonates with people in lots of little towns.
Yeah.
In this area, and but it's been a sore subject for, as I say, as long as I can remember in Great Barrington, it is never, they've never been able to figure this out about. How to make it easier to find parking in this town.
All right. Well, with that being with that being said, we've reached our wall on
our
time,
outer limit.
But we remind
people. Wait a minute. I have one other suggestion. We could we could return to having streetcars, which would you know, you park your car somewhere miles out of town and take the streetcar down to Main Street. That would be my solution.
And name it Desire.
That's my desire. That's right.
All right, guys. We will speak to you next week. Much. Take care.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
This bye-bye. Week, that is the Berkshire Edge on air here on Robin Hood Radio.